The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Matriculating through this Monday morning, coming up on 9:10, and college is expensive enough, and we know the problem we have with student debt. So why wouldn't you get the help and the aid that's available for you? Well, a lot of people are leaving money on the table, apparently. Ebony Holmes joins us, Director of Public Information and Advising for the Louisiana Office of Student Financial Assistance, or as it's otherwise known, LOSFA, not to be confused with FAFSA. Good morning, Ebony. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. How are you?
I'm breaking in a cold sweat because I'm reminded of when my kid was a senior in high school, and I don't remember exactly at what time of year it was, but the guidance counselor talking to the room full of parents with LOFSA and FAFSA, and my eyes just glazing over, and it can be confusing.
It can be.
So tell me what's going on with in Louisiana, I guess, with FAFSA and the difference. First off, maybe we can talk about the differences between LOSFA and FAFSA.
Sure. So LOSFA, as you stated, is the name of our agency, which is we oversee a lot of the state's financial aid programs in Louisiana, including the state's 529 programs, while the FAFSA is short for Free Application for Federal Student Aid, which is the application for Pell Grant, students are seeking student loans, any of that federal money, and we also use it as the application for TOPS. So LOSFA is the agency, FAFSA is an application for financial aid.
LOSFA is the agency, FAFSA is the application, yes?
Yes.
Okay, good. And I'm trying to think about, is there a season for this? Because it's coming up on 10 years. My kid's been out of high school, which is hard to believe. Really, time flies. Is there a season for that? Is now the time of year where parents should be looking at this, or is it too late, or what? Tell me about that.
Nope, not too late, and there is a season. Typically, the FAFSA would open in October, and students are going to complete a FAFSA in their senior year of high school. So typically, going towards the end of the year is when parents and students should be looking for that application to open. A lot of people know that they, or may not know, that they totally revamped the FAFSA starting last year. And so because they've kind of been working over some of the glitches, it's been opening a little bit later last year and this year. It actually opened last week. And so right on time, if parents, students have not done the FAFSA, they still have time because it just really opened up.
They had a big problem with this at the national level last year. Did they not? Do I remember that right?
Oh, you are remembering correctly. Huge problem. They were intending to make it easier. I know it's been a while. You said like 10 years since you've done one, but you probably remember how long and kind of cumbersome it was. And
I've tried to block
they
it,
were...
Ebony. The nightmares have finally gone away. So I tried to block it. But yes, I do remember how incredibly challenging it can be. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yes. Oh, no, you're fine. It incredibly challenging. And unfortunately, the efforts that they put forth in trying to make it simpler just kind of fell flat last year. And so that nightmare scenario kind of on steroids with, technical glitches and students not being able to complete the form. And so this year they waited, until December, which was the goal, but they ended up rolling it out a little early, and they took the time to fix those glitches so that now it should, in theory, take probably 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes to complete it because it's been reduced from over 100 questions to 33.
So let me open the phone lines here at 504-260-1870. If you do have a child, this would be for parents of seniors, juniors?
Mm-hmm. Who? Seniors.
Seniors, right?
Seniors in high school, or even if you have students who are currently in college who are receiving federal aid, mm-hmm. Or if they've initially done a FAFSA, and even if they need to renew it, now would be the time for them to do it as well. So high school seniors would be completing it for the first time, and then you have those college students who would be doing a renewal.
And it can be confusing. So again, at Open Heart Jeweler Talk and text line 504-260-1870, if you text your questions in, I'll pass them along to Ebony Holmes, who's our guest, Director of Public Information and Advising for the Louisiana Office of Student Financial Assistance, LOSFA, which is not to be confused with FAFSA, which is the application, the free application for federal student aid. If I remember correctly, every student should fill out a FAFSA because you don't know what you're eligible for and what you're not, right?
Correct. And so what we've really focused on these past 2 years, because we know it can be confusing, if you visit our website at mylosfa.la.gov, we have a decision tree that students and parents can look at to kind of see the difference between, you know, if I just want to apply for TOPS or if I want to do the FAFSA. But of course, we do encourage students to do it because, as you said, you know, you never know what you may or may not be eligible for. So it's better to complete it. And that way, if you're eligible for funding, you'll be able to have access to that.
So what happened last year with the problems that they had in Louisiana after the problems they had with FAFSA?
So last year, one of the big changes that happened is that Louisiana was the first state to actually make FAFSA completion a graduation requirement, but then that was repealed. So moving forward for our 2025 high school graduates, they are not required to complete the FAFSA or do a waiver for graduation. But of course, what we saw happen in Louisiana was kind of the same thing that we saw nationally, with students just not being able to complete the FAFSA because of technical glitches. There were just a lot of errors that were, you know, for some students not being able to get their parents' information onto the form. It was rolled out late. And so, of course, that created an additional challenge for Louisiana, who at the time it was a graduation requirement. So we had a very short window to try to get those students on board and get those FAFSAs completed. And so even now we're still, you know, about 10% shy of where we were with completion rates last year. And that's, you know, kind of reflecting what's happening at a national level as well, just because of kind of how that the whole FAFSA kind of rolled out last year.
So was there pushback from parents who didn't want to fill out the FAFSA, even though it was a requirement or still maybe until next year to get a diploma, because they're saying, well, why do I have to give this information when my kid's not going to college? Is that what's going on here?
Well, the good thing is that they always have the option to do a waiver. So if they did not want to complete the FAFSA, they could do a waiver, and that would fulfill that graduation requirement. And then they also had the ability to, for those students who only want to apply for TOPS, they have that TOPS online application, and that also would have fulfilled the graduation requirement. Thankfully, you know, moving forward with the 2025 graduates, that's not something that they'll have to worry about, but we still are available to assist because we understand that students who desire to matriculate or, you know, go into a post-secondary institution, whether it be 2 year, 4 year, that there is going to be a cost gap for many students, and the FAFSA can be one of the tools to help close that gap.
And I guess, too, maybe by it being a requirement or the waiver, if you choose to opt out, maybe some people think they can't afford to go to college when, in fact, after filling out the FAFSA, they find out that they can?
Correct. And, you know, the FAFSA is a federal form, but it's also, you know, as an example, we use it as the application for TOPS. Students who are eligible for Pell Grant funding will also be eligible for, can be eligible for a Louisiana GO Grant, which is state aid. So a lot of the post-secondary institutions also will ask for a FAFSA to be completed when they are looking at awarding institutional aid to their students. So lots of benefits to filling it out. It's kind of what I call a kind of kill two birds with one stone, in that you are applying for so many different types of aid just by filling out that one application.
To be clear, this is not a loan. These are grants?
Correct. So, and what happens is that when you fill out, and a lot of people don't want to do the FAFSA because they're like, oh, well, I don't want loans. And so what happens is that they'll determine your eligibility for pretty much everything. You know, your Pell Grant, federal, the FSEOG, which is another type of grant. There's work study, basically, where the student would be provided a job on campus if the school participates in work study, and they would basically work for a certain amount of financial aid, and then they have student loans. But students always have the option to decline loans, and so that's one of those things where we advise students only borrow what you need. If you don't need, then you can decline those loans.
How is your office, which is LASFA, working to make sure that Louisiana's students in the state, that they do fill out FAFSA and they fill it out properly?
So we're located in Baton Rouge. One of the things that we do is that we have a lab in our office where students and parents can come in to complete their FAFSA. We also have been doing FAFSA Friday events, where students and parents can get assistance with setting up an FSA ID, which is going to be the first step to them accessing the FAFSA. So we have virtual office hours where, you know, if you're not located in Baton Rouge, you can still access us. A lot of the schools in the state have already started sending in event requests to have us come out and do FAFSA completion workshops with their students and their parents. So we do a good bit of work at the high school level. Usually in early spring, we're partnering with post-secondary institutions to host like statewide FAFSA completion events. And so in whatever capacity that we can make ourselves available to assist students and parents, that's what we try to do.
I get a text that comes in here and it says, thank God this lady is on because I have a senior in high school and I do not know where to begin as it relates to TOPS. So maybe when we come back, Ebony Holmes, you can walk us through TOPS, Go Grants, Pell Grants, FAFSA, if that's how you pronounce it, and ways that I guess maybe like aid 101, how parents know to go about it?
Absolutely.
All right, good. Ebony Holmes, our guest director of public information advising for the Louisiana Office of Student Financial Assistance, or as it's otherwise known, LASFA. I think what we're going to do is this. We're going to start with a student A, and then they're a senior in high school, and we're going to go from that point to how do you go to fill out and find out what you're eligible for, et cetera, et cetera. It's just your money, and you certainly don't want to rack up a loan if you don't need to. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 928, it's your money. Ebony Holmes joins us, Director of Public Information Advising for the Louisiana Office of Student Financial Assistance, LASFA, talking about the FAFSA form, which is the preliminary step to getting TOPS. Did I say anything wrong, Ebony?
Nope, that is correct. The FAFSA is going to be considered as the application for federal aid, but we also use it for TOPS. And then we also have a separate TOPS online application for those individuals who do not want to complete the FAFSA. But absolutely, if a student does that FAFSA, we are going to use that as the application for TOPS.
So let's talk about a student. Tommy, whatever, is a student and getting ready to graduate. And what should the parents do from the outset if they plan on going to college?
If the student is planning on attending college, one of the first steps, of course, is we are big proponents of match and fit. So that's kind of taking a look at the institutions that they're planning to attend, kind of, you know, seeing which one is going to be a good fit for them, depending on whatever their major is. And then once they've done that, now is the time the FAFSA is open. Now's the time that students and parents can start filling out that FAFSA. One of the things that they'll need to do before that is going to be applying for an FSA ID. And that is simply a password and a username, a combination of a password and username that they create. And that's going to be like their login. And it also serves as a signature for them to sign the FAFSA, which is, you know, an online form. So once they've created the FSA ID, this is all going to be done through Federal Student Aid's website. They'll create the FSA ID about 1 to 3 days. They'll get a response back saying it's been verified. And at that point, they can go ahead and do the FAFSA. The really good thing about the FSA ID is that once it's set up, when they start that FAFSA, it's going to pull all that information in already. So that's going to, you know, go towards that 10 to 15 minutes filling it out. It really is a much simpler and shorter form this go round. And so immediately once they've submitted that FAFSA and it's complete, the student's going to know right then and there if they're eligible for the federal Pell Grant and in what amount. And then the other aid, which is what we call campus-based aid, is going to be determined by the institution that they are going to be attending. And so they can list up to 20 schools on the FAFSA. Those schools that they list are going to get a copy of everything that they submit on that FAFSA so that they can start packaging that student. And so I would say once they've submitted that FAFSA, to kind of be looking early spring for something from the post-secondary institutions that they've applied to and been accepted to. And they are going to let them know, this is how much you're going to be eligible for, you know, Pell Grant. This is how much you'll be eligible for GO Grant. This is how much you're going to be eligible for FSEOG or for work study. And so we really advise students at that point, you know, if you have a couple offers from a few institutions, to really sit down with your, you know, students and parents, sit down and kind of compare those offers to see where they're going to get the most bang for their buck. And then in regards to TOPS, because we administer TOPS and it's not awarded like through or by the institution, our eligibility window is a little bit later. So they'll get that award letter from their school early spring, but for TOPS, they'll get a separate notification from our office, and that's going to come over the summer. We start processing for TOPS in June.
Because, and the fog cleared, as you said that, Ebony, from 10 years ago, and I'm remembering now that, because a lot of times the universities or the colleges, whatever you call it, the institution of higher learning will have money available that people don't know about, right? Scholarships?
Available? Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Usually every school has what we call institutional aid, and that's going to be financial aid from that school, and it's going to be specifically for those students. And even to go deeper than that, within the institution, you know, the College of Engineering will have scholarships specifically for engineering students at that school, or the School of Nursing. So it's really, you know, about this time, you know, early senior year, late junior year, we also advise students and parents to kind of start looking at scholarship searches and seeing what's out there to kind of start applying and making sure you're hitting any deadlines that they may have.
What's the, someone texted in about TOPS. Does TOPS increase the amount of semesters it contributes to more than 4 years, 8 semesters?
No. Right now, TOPS is still a 4-year award for TOPS Opportunity Performance, TOPS Honors, and then TOPS Tech, of course, is still a 2-year award. And so to date, there have been no changes to that. That would have to be something that would be legislatively changed.
TOPS, as I remember reading, at one time there was a problem funding it, but now it seems as though there's money left. People are not fully using this or not, Ebony? Am I wrong?
No, we have seen, we have not had any issues this year with TOPS funding. And of course, there have been some declines in enrollment, which is, again, a reflection of a national trend. So for this year, TOPS is fully funded, and of course, we'll know going into next year over the summer after session, what TOPS, you know, what the what it'll look like for 25-26. But there has not been a budget shortfall for some time.
What is the reason for the national trend? Do they know?
Not quite sure, but they are seeing, you know, enrollment declines, and so they're not quite sure exactly where it's coming from, but kind of what's happening here in Louisiana is just kind of a reflection of a national kind of trend.
What I'm about to say here is a very, very general statement, but as an administrator of this, when you see so many people with so much college debt, do you kind of not? Does it make you think that maybe people don't realize all of the aid that is available, and that maybe they could? What kind of education is available if they avail themselves of the aid that is there, and that maybe they wouldn't have to incur a lot of this debt?
Yeah, and a lot of it is, you know, educating students and parents on their choices. Again, that match and fit. I usually advise students that students sometimes are like, I want to go out of state. And it's like, that's great. But have you looked at out-of-state fees?
Right.
That is going to be a huge part of the expenses that you're required to pay. And so one of the things that we try to do is kind of get them to, number one, what institutions are going to be a good fit for you academically. But even when you look at cost of choice and you look at your options, kind of helping them navigate that whole college access process to be like, hey, you can go here and get a great education for X amount of dollars, or you can go here and get the same education for, you know, $10,000-$15,000 less. And really pushing the point home that if you're taking out student loans, this is not free money, right? We like to encourage use of free money and, you know, letting them know this money is going to have to be paid back, and it's going to have to be paid back with interest. So a lot of it is, hey, there may be aid here that you don't even realize you're eligible for. Doing the FAFSA could be the first step in, you know, gaining access to that money, and then also promoting that cost of choice so that they're able to make enabled and smart decisions about this is, you know, financially, this is my goal for matriculating through a post-secondary institution. Where can I get the most bang for my buck where I'm not paying, you know, hundreds of dollars every month to repay a student loan once I graduate?
And it seems like sometimes kids start touring schools and parents go with kids to tour schools. And it seemed to me, if I remember correctly, at the end of the presentation was, but first, of course, you got to decide what it is that you can afford. And it always seemed to me that should be at the beginning of it, where you should decide what kind of budget you have or what you're looking at student debt before you start going to North Carolina or California or New York or here or there, right? Because otherwise it's just kind of a wasted trip.
Correct. Because you're going to get that bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be some surprise there. So that's certainly one of the things that we encourage them to look at, especially if, at this point, all of the post-secondary institutions are required to have a cost calculator on their website where they flat out tell you this is the tuition amount, you know, this is room and board. And so that empowers students and parents to go into it knowing, okay, this is, you know, how much it's going to cost if I go here. This is how much it's going to cost if I go here. And then once they get those financial aid packages, they're able to sit down and make a clear decision as far as, you know, this is how much I would be paying out of pocket at each of these institutions should I attend. And hopefully that kind of gives them the information that they need to make a decision that's right for their family.
Ebony, it can be eye-glazing. It really can for parents that are going through this.
Mm-hmm.
Is the first step going to the Louisiana Office of Student Financial? I had the window open here. MyLOSFA.LA.gov, that's a first step?
Absolutely. And we have both FAFSA guides, and we actually have a really great TOPS guide that we just rolled out that has all the information you could ever want to know about TOPS and then some, along with ways to reach us if you need to call us, if you need to set up a virtual office hour, if you need to email us. That's what we are here for. And if we have to hold your hand through the process, we are more than happy to get that done because we do understand that it can be confusing.
So one final question comes in. To qualify for TOPS, you have to fill out a FAFSA form, right?
They either have to do the FAFSA, or if they only want to apply for TOPS, they can just do the TOPS online application, and that's also going to be on that website that you just gave.
But you can get both, correct? You could get there.
Yes.
Could be aid available, and you could get TOPS as well.
Yes. So the FAFSA is going to be kind of like a catch-all. So that's
right.
Your application for federal aid, state aid, including TOPS, and some institutions use it as well. For students that only want to apply for TOPS and nothing else, they can do that TOPS online application.
I guess what I was trying to say in my own clumsy way is you never know, so why wouldn't you? Because
correct.
It's your money, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You never know.
Right,
so we
it.
Always say to be safe. Do the FAFSA, but, you know, again, we always leave that decision. We try to put the information in the hands of students and families to make informed decisions. And so if, you know, for whatever reason, they just want to apply for TOPS, they can. But we always encourage FAFSA.
I think everybody's in a holiday mode now, Ebony Holmes, but maybe you can come back after the first of the year and we'll revisit this. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Ebony Holmes, Director of Public Information Advising for the Louisiana Office of Student Financial Assistance, or LOSFA. The form is FAFSA. And you can go to mylosfa.la.gov and find out more. 940, we'll talk Pels when we come back. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL. All right, 948, 12 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Pelicans fans tonight at 6. You can catch your Pels at the Grizzlies. Tip off at 6:30 on the Big 870 WWL AM. And then you'll have sports talk, of course, with the Saints Coaches Show with Darren Rizzi. That's on 105.3 FM, WWL, and the Odyssey app. And if you look at the first quarter of both the Pelicans and the Saints game yesterday, around the same time, they combined for a total of 13 points, which is not good. Ollie Cosell joins us, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. How you doing, Ollie?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm glad you're making that analogy comparing the two teams, because it's turning out to be one disappointing season, right, for professional sports in New Orleans.
Yep. Tell me about, I don't know, we want to start with the Pelicans. Second worst record in the NBA, 4-17. It would be hard to imagine a start worse than this, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and for comparison's sake, I think a lot of people remember still Willie Green's inaugural year here 3-4 years ago, where the team started 3-16. But get this, Tommy, through 21 games, at least that team was 5-16, mm-hmm. right? So this version is one win worse. And you everybody understands there's a slew of injuries. It's disrupted everything. But the problem is, it seems like now that their focus is going away, right? Last game, last night, they began the game with a turnover, finished the first half on a turnover, began the second half with a turnover. And so we're seeing where they're alternating kind of close losses with really bad losses. And it's really just a lack of focus. They should be more competitive out there. And now, of course, that's weighing on everything else, right? Is Willie Green losing the team? What trades need to be made? Should you blow it up? I mean, we're talking about things that we shouldn't be talking about just a quarter of the season through.
Yeah, pretty early on December 2nd, be having that conversation. That's
Yeah, without a doubt. But look, the Western Conference is so competitive that really, you know, they've dug them such a hole that just to get to, you've got to think they've got to get to at least about 500 to make the play-in. Tournament, right, to extend their season beyond the regular season. And that's looking like a tall order because, like I said, the Western Conference is a much tougher conference than, say, the East, where, you know, if they were had this record over in the Eastern Conference, it'd be a lot less games to make up. So it's understandable, right? There's about 61 games left, but, Tommy, it almost seems like everything has to go perfect the rest of the way, right? And here's the thing. Brandon Ingram's out day-to-day, and we don't know when he's going to return, but more importantly, Zion. You know, he had those PRP injections. And from what I understand, I talked to a few people, when you have those injections, you can't really run, not even run, right? No conditioning for at least 2 months. So his return is nowhere close. And if you don't have your stars, I don't know how they could make up all this ground.
I want to clean this up. They're playing the Hawks tonight, not the Grizzlies. I don't know why I said that. But tell me about the situation with B.I. He's signed a new deal or something, got a new agent or something. What's going on with him?
Yeah, Brandon Ingram moved on from his longtime agent over at Excel Sports. You know, he signed with him when he first entered the league, had a really good, from what I understand, relationship with him. But it makes sense, right? Brandon Ingram has been now seeking for a new contract for about a year. And the Pelicans, everybody assumed were going to either give him that contract this last summer or trade him. And they were not able to accomplish either one. And so Brandon Ingram's thinking he's probably going to have better luck with a different agency. And as I think a lot of people know, he's now moved on to Rich Paul of Clutch Sports. That's the person who represented Anthony Davis, got him out of New Orleans. And so, yeah, it looks like the Brandon Ingram's time here in New Orleans is probably going to come to a conclusion real soon.
How much of a disaster is this? How much of a Titanic is this Pelicans team right now in this organization?
Well, everybody, first of all, gets blame. Usually, yeah, you can point to a really bad front office decision, sometimes a player being out, a coach, right, mismanaging the roster. But it's just been a combination of everything. So, really, it's an organizational failure from top to bottom. But I'm mainly looking a lot at the players. Right, your top six players have to be healthy. And this is not just a problem with the Pelicans, but if you notice, there's been so many injuries across the league, and they popped up in the first couple of weeks. Right, and here's the problem. Players just aren't taking, you know, seeking all the professional ways to keep their bodies healthy. right? You're entering a season where you're kind of running at half speed, and all of a sudden you're going from playing one or two preseason games in about 2 to 3 weeks, and all of a sudden you're playing 4 regular season games per week. And from talking to every previous NBA player, a lot of trainers, they say that load, these players can't sustain it anymore, right? In the past, Tommy, practices in preseason used to consist of 2-a-days for 2 weeks. You were basically running up and down the court and puking your guts out, right, getting in shape. They don't do anything like that anymore.
Is that because of collective bargaining, or is that because of?
No, honestly, it has nothing to do with collective bargaining. It's just the way players now honestly just approach the game. They honestly do not put in enough effort anymore on that end. They just think they can get in shape during the season. And some players can, but there's a lot that can't.
And they get paid either way.
Right. They don't look at it as an 82-game schedule, Tommy. They really don't. And look, all you have to do is just look at the NBA awards, right, all the major ones. You just have to play 65 games. So it's almost as though the NBA signed off, here, you can at least miss 17 games, and you're fine. So, yeah, there's just bad messaging all around, but the league is in a bit of a trouble. They've really got to fix this.
Thank you. I appreciate the insights. Ollie Cosell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Man, I think we need to get some kind of voodoo ceremony, something over there on Airline Drive with the injuries and everything else. 9:54, 6 till 10. We'll find out what Noel's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.